Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
We certainly are doing what we can, putting plastics in a separate thing in order to put it in a dustbin, make it easier. And I imagine that that's become now part of our lives. The informal waste pickers have really become very much part of South Africa's environmental program. And I think it's really, really incredible. Joining us on the line is Ellie Kodisang, who is the organizer of the Waste Pickers Integration at Civil Rights NGO. A very, very good morning. Thank you for speaking to us. How are you?
Well, I'm doing fine. Thanks for having me.
It's so interesting that we were having this conversation at home, and we were actually trying to figure out how long have these informal waste pickers actually been around?
I think that we can trace the first people that started doing this kind of work all the way back to the late 80s. It's just that at the time they were not really visible in the streets because most of them were collecting in landfill sites. And as more and more people started collecting in landfill sites, some others started collecting directly, you know, from household. And the household, I think people might have started noticing them in the early 2000s, really. Around 1999 to the early 2000s. That's when you started seeing a lot more people in the street, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and people might have mistaken them for the homeless because they would be, you know, going into the bin, and you might think, no, they're looking for scraps of food. But actually, no, if you offer them food, sometimes they'll say fine. But they'll still continue, you know, looking for your bin and wonder why.
Absolutely.
But actually what they were doing, they were looking for plastic and all sorts of other materials that could be sold.
So it, what's fascinating as well is we were speaking to an environmentalist a few weeks ago, and who in fact gave me the idea. I didn't realize it until then, until she pointed it out, how important this process is and how useful it is just to keep your plastics in a separate bin to make it easier. But obviously one of the big advantages is not only, of course, does it provide employment for people in a country where unemployment is horrendous, but also there's a huge environmental advantage, isn't there?
Yeah, no, the environmental impact cannot really be underestimated. And we actually saw it during the first hard lockdown when reclaimers were not categorized as an essential service. And so when everyone else was locked down state-owned entities was responsible for picking up waste, you know, they actually had to spend more money and do a lot more trips around in order to pick up all of the waste that was thrown away. And it actually impacted the landfill size because suddenly the size of the landfill suddenly went up because in essential terms, these men and women, both in the landfill size and also walking around us, they actually take out hundreds of metric tons of waste or material, what we call materials of value, that we call waste. You know, they take hundreds of metric tons of that stuff out of the environment on a daily basis. And essentially, it's very, very, very hard work.
Mm.
And on average, what we've discovered through a pilot site that we've had with the residents of Brixton, Auckland Park, together with Unilever, is that on average, reclaimers collect on average about 128 kilograms of materials on a daily basis.
Incredible.
And some of them, you know, in Johannesburg walk an average of about 25 to 30 kilometers.
Wow.
You know, just
wow.
To move from where they live and sort, you know, pick up the and get back, you know, and most people only rest on Sunday. Sometimes some don't actually rest or take public holidays. So it's actually a lot of hard work, you know, picking materials, sorting, transporting it, cleaning it, and then, you know, presenting it for sale. So it's actually an essential service that's actually offered, and which is why we, you know, we were quite surprised when the city or the policymakers decision makers in the city decided to introduce, you know, this 50 rand levy that basically was going to support things that we had nothing to do with supporting the infrastructure that is actually responsible for the collection of 90% of post-consumer packaging in the city. You know, the people that collect that material are actually the informal sector. And of course, as you point out, it supports thousands and thousands of people that would otherwise
What is the situation with regard to their rights protection? Because it strikes me as being a segment of the population that is incredibly vulnerable.
Yes, it is a segment of the population that is incredibly vulnerable. And because of its vulnerability, there are people who believe that it can be ignored and taken advantage of. So what we are keen on doing is to, first of all, one, to bring some understanding to the public as to who these men and women are, because all that we see are people sometimes pulling the enormous trolley, you know, who are sometimes a bit of an impediment on the road, you know, in the middle of traffic, you know, trying to get to work, you have your own stresses, but these are men and women that are providing an essential service. And we have been trying for the last 4 years, you know, to bring solutions to this plight many times, to ensure that there's a registration process so that we know, you know, who is walking the streets, can enumerate the people. We can therefore, the state, pick it up, state entities, to provide, you know, infrastructure and support so that the collection of materials is safe. You know, so we had, for instance, an agreement to register everyone with started to do it, that was suddenly stopped, you know, when we started asking for support. What support did we ask? You know, we asked them, look, every time these men and women are collecting, every time we pull them out of work so that they could assist the city, you know, they're losing income, they must pay for their own transportation. So after a month of supporting ourselves, we asked them for support, you know, so that people can afford. And suddenly the program stopped, and now we hear there's a tender that has gone out, you know, to provide registration, you know. So we are the people that know where to find the retainers. We know which to take. So we really are appealing for cooperation and support from residents.
What can residents do? What, you know, I know that my late mom had a, you know, it was just her thing. She would do something very simple. The pickers are in our area on a Thursday, on a Wednesday. She stopped a few people and said, what can I do to help? And, you know, what can I give you? And they said, well, their throats and they get very dry and very, you know, from the picking and the, so just bread and milk. And every Wednesday she'd go and buy a whole bunch of bread and milk, drive around the neighborhood and hand it to people to help. You know, in my view, driving into, I come into studio extremely early in the morning, obviously, it's dark, and I worry when I see them on the roads on a Wednesday or a Thursday that they don't have reflectors, and my stress is that they could get hurt. Do they need reflector vests? How do residents of an area say, we have these people, they're doing us a service, they are vulnerable, you know, we are very blessed. Obviously, people are battling at the moment economically with COVID and everything else, but still, we have a lot more than other people have. What can we do to help?
I think in the first instance, we would like to invite people to go into our social medias, our Facebook page, you know, look for African Reclaimers on Facebook, Twitter. Right. We have a meeting this afternoon, actually, a Zoom meeting, I have opened up to all residents and residents associations. So we will be distributing via our social medias, you know, a poster that is showing people the kind of material that we're encouraging them to separate, you know, and also explaining why people take certain materials and not others. Secondly, of course, is that we encourage residents to meet their local reclaimer and come together and offer that kind of support that you're talking about, mostly ensuring that people are safe. Secondly, we encourage also the local community, together with the security company, talk to the their local claimer, so that you know who they are, you know what they do, and also ARO, African Reclaimer, so that they, once you residents have taken those initial steps, you will then also come in to support, to talk to people, to ensure that they have a similar voice and that they are known to the community.
Absolutely.
So that is the first thing, to encourage them to come in and talk to us, so that we can guide them.
Right. I unfortunately only have a few more seconds left, so and before we head to our news headlines. So the best thing to do is actually go to your social media sites and see what you can do there to get involved.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. And that is incredibly important work. Eli Kodisang, who is the organizer of Waste Pickers Integration at Civil Rights NGO WIEGO.